Living Hope Assembly of God.
Grab your Bible and turn with me to 1 Kings. Yes, 1 Kings 8 and 61. We're going to start here as a starting point, but we're going to be all over the place. So I want you to try to keep up with me. I have a lot of notes here. I'm going to try to hit everything in the next little while. I'm tired of saying 30 minutes, 40 minutes, because I don't want you to be like, that pastor's a liar, consistently lying. The thought that I felt like God gave me, and I know he gave me, is this. Just one word. You can write it down if you're taking notes. It's devoted. Devoted. I looked up the word devoted, and when I looked it up, it said devote means to adhere to one, be his adherent, to be devoted or consistent to one, to be steadfastly attentive unto, to give unremitting care to a thing, to continue all the time in a place, to preserve and not faint, to persevere and not faint, to show oneself courageous for, to be in constant readiness for one, wait on constantly. The reality is this morning, as living beings created in the image of God, we're going to be devoted to something. There's just like the saying goes, we're going to serve something or somebody. And the choice really is yours. What we serve and who we serve and why we serve what we serve. Being devoted. As a married person, we choose to be devoted to our spouse, right? As a father, I choose to be devoted to my children. As a believer, I choose to be devoted to God and the church. Ultimately, I give my devotion as a born-again believer, ultimately, to Jesus Christ. We talked about it in Sunday school. At the end of the day, my life is submitted to Christ. When my life is submitted to Christ, everything else starts to line up with that. My ducks start to become in a row. When I'm submitted to Christ, I am able to love my wife as Christ loves the church. When I am submitted to Christ, I am able to raise my children up in the way that they should go. When I'm submitted to Christ and committed to Christ and devoted to Christ, when I'm out in the marketplace and when I'm out doing life, I properly represent him and his kingdom and his people. And ultimately, as a father, as a husband, not only do I represent Christ and as a believer, I represent Christ in this world, but when I go out, I'm a representation of my family. Have you ever known a family because of one person, the entire family's name seemed to be ruined? Your devotion, your commitment will ultimately drive your love and your support and your dedication to a thing, to an individual, to a person. Devoted. It's a simple term, but it's a complex term. In 1 Kings, if you'll stand this morning for this brief reading of God's word, and you can sit down, 1 Kings 8 in 61. The Ark of the Covenant is being brought into this newly constructed temple, and King Solomon says to the people during this time, let your heart therefore be wholly devoted to the Lord our God, to walk in his statutes and to keep his commandments as at this day. Father, in the name of Jesus, be glorified today, Father. May we take to heart everything that you desire to say in your word. God, may your word come to life in us. May we see more clearly your plan, your desires. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. You may be seated. When I look at that passage, that verse, one of the first things that I quickly notice is that Solomon was devoted. I want you to follow me because I know you Bible scholars and you Bible students are running through your mind and you're remembering Solomon. I want you to hold on for a moment to your thoughts. Here we have Solomon in our text. He's telling his people, he's pleading with his people as the king. He's saying, listen, in order for God to continue to bless us, in order for God to continue to walk with us, we have to remain devoted. We want to travel for a moment. Let me take your mind to 2 Samuel chapter 11. As most of you will know that Solomon is King David and Bathsheba's son. 2 Samuel chapter 11 informs us that Bathsheba was the wife of Uriah the Hittite. Long story short, David slept with Bathsheba and she became pregnant with King David's child. In a turn of events to cover his scandal, David has Uriah, one of his most faithful soldiers, placed on the front line of the battle to die. When approached by the prophet Nathan about his sin and his sin was exposed, we see that the judgment of God became imminent in the life of David. Because of David's adulterous act, Nathan tells David in 2 Samuel 11, verses 11 through 14, this is what the Lord says, out of your own household I am going to bring calamity on you before your very eyes. I will take your wives and give them to one who is close to you, and he will sleep with your wives in broad daylight. You did in secret, but I will do this thing in broad daylight before all Israel. That's a scary place to be in your relationship with God. I want you to follow me this morning because I'm going somewhere in this text. Then David said to Nathan, I have sinned against the Lord. After David had been given this judgment of what God is going to do, this pronouncement of what's going to happen to you, David's reaction to God was not, oh God, listen, it wasn't my fault. If that beautiful lady, what in the world was she doing naked out on the balcony bathing in the first place? David immediately, when Nathan told him what God was going to do to him, David immediately said, Lord, I have sinned. He quickly acknowledged what had taken place. How devoted can you be to God? Listen, I'm not talking about a perfect person. I'm talking about an imperfect man who was the king of a nation who felt like probably in his own right that he can do whatever he desired to do. But in that moment, the king of this nation realized that he had sinned. But not only had he sinned with another person, but he had sinned against the God who he had dedicated his life to. Nathan replied, the Lord has taken away your sin. So we see this span of time. David realized that, I sinned against God. And we see immediately in the text that the Lord said, David, the Lord has taken away your sin. Why did he do that? Because David was quickly to repent. He was quick to acknowledge that he had sinned against God. It's not that we're perfect. It's not that we're not going to make mistakes. But when we make a mistake out of a relationship, it's kind of when, like when I offend my wife some kind of way. It's in that moment that I'm quick to say that I'm sorry, not because I'm going to have to sleep in a doghouse, but because I love my wife. I realize that I have hurt her. Devotion causes us to be committed. Nathan goes on to tell David, you're not going to die, but because by doing this, you have shown utter contempt against the Lord, or for the Lord. The son born to you, David, because of your actions, will die. At this moment, David's life crumbled before his very eyes. At this moment, no doubt, the reigning king was helpless and vulnerable before the living God. I want to let you know today, you don't have no power. You truly don't have no authority. But one thing you do have is a choice. David's life was in shambles. He had committed adultery. He had an innocent man killed. And as a result, his child perish because of his actions. But I want you to notice something as we get ready to trek on down the road in this sermon. Turn with me to 1 Samuel chapter 13, verse 14, really briefly. And the heading that I have is David, a man after God's own heart. Wait a minute. I can't get my head around that. David, a man after God's own heart. But we see earlier in David's life, as David's getting ready to be anointed king of Israel, God called him a man after my own heart. Can I tell you today, in short, God knows that you're going to make mistakes. But there's something about a person who is devoted to God in spite of their calamities, in spite of their downfalls, in spite of their mishaps, in spite of their mistakes. Can I tell you today that every single one of us are going to sin against God at some point? But instead of falling and wallowing in our mess, instead of walking, I would rather be the one at times crawling to God as long as I get to him in repentance. That's a heart that is devoted. There's a difference between a struggle and a lifestyle. You can see me struggle, or you can see me live constantly in sin. Can I tell you today that there are moments and times in every one of our lives that we struggle? And the only way that we're truly going to get it right is by the grace of God. But at some point, we have to become devoted to God in order for these things to come to fruition, in order for success, in order for us to overcome the obstacle in our life. No matter how many times life knocks you down, you have to get back up and get back in the race. You're devoted. You're committed. You're sold out for God. Listen to what 1 Samuel 13 and 14 says. But now the kingdom shall not endure. The Lord has sought out himself a man after his own heart. And the Lord has appointed him as ruler over his people. Because you have not kept what the Lord commanded you. He's talking to Saul at this point. And again, in Acts 13 and 22, after removing Saul, he made David their king. God testified concerning him, I have found David, son of Jesse, a man after my own heart. He will do everything I want him to do. Did you hear what he said? I have found David, a man after my own heart. And he will do everything that I have asked him to do, or commanded him to do, or have called him to do. But in the midst of David's life, we see in our text that David has made a grave mistake. He has slept with another man's wife. Listen, I want to put this out there. Many of us, we would discount David. We would cast David to the side. We would stop loving David. We would stop supporting David. We would stop being committed to David. We would stop even probably wanting to be around David. And I know there's passages of scripture that suggest when a person continue in a lifestyle that we should separate ourselves from this individual. But we need to know each other. We need to get to know each other. We need to love each other so that we can understand a difference between a struggle and a lifestyle. Because the very people at times that we push to the side and we don't want to be a part of, in their heart of hearts, they love Jesus. In their hearts, they're desiring to get to that place where you're at. And every now and then, they just need you to reach down and pull them up. You know what? We need to be more devoted to those that seem to be struggling. A man that is after the heart of God will give God, will submit to his will submit to his plan. A man who is after the heart of God would be fully devoted. The opposite is true about those who are not after the heart of God. When our hearts are not fully devoted to God, we find ourselves idly sitting back, useless, and not living up nor to living out God's plans and desires for our lives. How many of us have ever been there? Where we come to church, we do the churchy routine, but we're really idly just passing through, not really fulfilling what God has called us to do and who he has called us to be. Can I get one amen this morning? I said I was going to stop saying that, but I can't. It's a habit. Because I don't want you to fall asleep on me. I want you to be with me this morning. The problem with David in our text, when we're dealing with the word idly, it's kind of like just twirling your thumbs, kind of not being busy, doing what you should be doing, not fully being devoted. And that's why I try to get people connected, because an idle mind is the devil's workplace, and the devil could have this way if we sit back idly. So we need to be doing something. And in our text this morning, we see that David had no business being home. David, in our text, should have been on the front lines with the rest of the soldiers. Amen? David should have been right there with his guys in the heat of the battle. Being devoted is being in the right place at the right time. David in our text was in the wrong place at the wrong time. I'm going somewhere with that. When we are devoted to God, when our focus is on God, we don't have time to look at the peripheral. We don't have time to allow the enemy to distract us. And when we're devoted to God, we find ourselves not focusing on anything but God. And when your devotion is to God, you find yourself growing spiritually. Can I get an amen? I'm telling you, I'm preaching way better than you're saying amen this morning. A failure to be devoted to God will ultimately lead to spiritual adultery. And in the end, killing and destroying everything that God desires for your life. Did you hear me? A failure to be devoted to God, meaning you're going to be devoted to something. And that means that you're going to be married to that thing that you are devoted to. Or you're going to commit adultery with that thing that you are devoted to. And out of adultery, spiritual adultery, comes illegitimate children. More problems than you desire. More problems than you need. And the next thing you know, those illegitimate spiritual children give birth to children. And next thing you know, you have this thing that we call a generational curse taking place in your life that could have been avoided if you stayed dedicated to God at first. Today we need to ask ourselves, are we committed? Are we truly devoted to God in the way that we should? I love how David, he answered Nathan. In spite of all of his failures and inconsistencies, he responded to Nathan's rebuke by saying, I have sinned against the Lord. I have sinned against the Lord. We heard David's response, but now let's hear David's reaction after the news came to him that the child had died. 2 Samuel 12, 18 through 23, are you there? On the seventh day, the Bible says that the child died. David's attendants were afraid to tell him that the child was dead, for they thought while the child was still living, he would listen to them. He would listen to us when we spoke to him. Now, how can we now tell him the child is dead? He may do something desperate. So funny how when we make bad decisions in our life and we stop being devoted to God, we find ourselves making desperate moves out of despair. We find ourselves going and doing and participating in activities and thinking and doing life in a desperate way. Verse 19 says, David noticed that his attendants were whispering among themselves, and he realized the child was dead. Is the child dead? He asked. Yes, they replied. He is dead. Then David got up from the ground, and after he had washed, put on lotions, and changed his clothes, he went into the house of the Lord and worshiped. Then he went to his own house. And at his request, they served him food, and he ate. His attendants asked him, why are you acting this way? While the child was alive, you fasted and wept. But now that the child is dead, you get up and eat. He answered, while the child was still alive, I fasted and wept. I thought, who knows, the Lord may be gracious to me and let the child live. But now that he is dead, why should I go on fasting? Can I bring him back again? I will go to him, but he will not return to me. Two things I want you to notice out of that passage of scripture. Before the child had died, David was found seeking God. Did you notice that in the text? And after the child had died, scripture says that David got up from the ground and he had washed, put on lotions, and changed his clothes. He went into the house of the Lord and worshiped. So before the child died and after the child died, David was still in an attitude of worship and thanksgiving before the living God. David understood that I had made a stupid choice, a stupid decision, but my devotion is not to this thing, but my devotion is to God. The scripture tells us in 2 Samuel 12 and 15, the Lord struck the child that the wife of Uriah had born for David, and he became sick. This was the judgment of God. given the circumstances. It was God's judgment and his redemptive action for all involved. I want you to understand something this morning. Did God have the ability, power, and the authority to save the life of this child? You better believe it. But God looks at the greater picture, the greater whole of things. But if God had to intervene and save the life of the child, God then in that moment would have given validation to David's sin. Hello? And suggest that sin is without consequence. Can I tell you today that every one of your sins will find you out? Everything that you do in secret is going to come to the light. And every one of your sins have consequences. David made a stupid decision to sleep with Bathsheba, and a child was born, and the child died, all because of David's failure to be devoted in that moment. And he sinned against God. What is it in your life that needs to die in order for God to have your full devotion? That's harsh. That's hard. What is it in your life, church, that needs to die for God to have your full devotion? The Bible says that he is a jealous God. He's jealous for you. God had an ultimate plan for the kingdom of Israel. God had plans and desires. But in order for God's plans, in order for God's desires to come to fruition, God's people had to be devoted to him. It's here during this time we see that Psalm 51, David goes and he prays to God and he asks God, please, please, please don't take your Holy Spirit from me. He didn't say, God, bring the child back, but he said, God, please don't take your Holy Spirit from me. I want to commune with you. I want to hear your voice. I desire to be on your team. Don't put me on the bench. I want to be a participant in your plan. That's what kept David safe. Second Samuel 12 and 24, then David comforted his wife Bathsheba, and he went to her and made love to her. She gave birth to a son, and they named him Solomon. The Lord loved him. Solomon grew up in a home where there were troubles and mishaps, but his father modeled before him what it meant to be committed, what it meant to be dedicated, and what it meant to be devoted to God. As parents, as grandparents, as followers of Jesus, in spite of everything that is going on in our lives and the world around us, we still must model a life that is devoted to Jesus. It is in the toughest seasons of life that we set the greatest examples for those that are watching us live this life out. Your people, your family, your friends, your coworkers, they're watching you. Here in our text this morning, Solomon has modeled the way for his people. He has set the example of what it means to be devoted to God. They came on this day and they gave everything to God. They worshiped him the way that God deserves to be worshiped. And we see in 1 Kings 8 and 5, if you're there this morning, we're going to try to get through this. I hope that God is speaking to your hearts this morning. And all the congregation of Israel who were assembled before him stood together in front of the ark, sacrificing so many sheep and oxen that they could not be told or numbered. What I want you to notice in our text this morning is that they brought their best to the house of the Lord for sacrifice. A person and a people who are devoted is not going to halfway bring the offering or a sacrifice to God. We're going to bring our entire selves to God and be committed and devoted to the things of God. If your devotion is divided, it's going to show. The Bible says, those that hunger and thirst for righteousness shall be filled. Listen, the more you hunger and thirst, the bigger the spoon of food that God is going to feed you. And it's going to be lived out in your life, not and others going to be able to see it. There was a sense of giving and celebration in the air. There was a spirit of worship of the Most High God. The Bible says in 2 Corinthians 9 and 7 in the Amplified Bible Classic Edition, let each one give as he has made up in his own mind and purpose in his heart, not reluctantly nor sorrowfully or under compulsion. For God loves, he takes pleasure in, prizes above other things, and is unwilling to abandon. Did you hear that? Unwilling to abandon or do to do without. A cheerful, joyous, prompt to do it giver whose heart is in his giving. Are you fully devoted? And I'm not talking about monetarily. I am talking about spiritually giving yourself to God. Listen, I believe that if we give ourselves to God in private, it's going to be revealed in open in the public. If we don't, it won't. On this day, God's people came and gave full devotion to the living God. Their devotion caused them to give without hesitation or regret. The Ark of the Covenant was a place that housed the presence of God. It also had the table, the stone tablets, inscribed with the Ten Commandments, a golden jar of manna, Aaron's rod that budded. Eventually, we notice in 1 Kings 8 and 9 that the jar and the rod were removed at some point because they were not in the ark once the temple was dedicated. The ark reminded the people in that moment of where God brought them from. It reminded them that he was a God of victory, that he was a God of provision for his people. I have noticed inside of the church and everywhere I go that God is not going to dwell where he is tolerated more than where he is celebrated. Do you hear what I'm saying? The Spirit of God, you want to see a Book of Acts church? Let us be fully devoted to God and the apostles' teaching and doctrine and to prayer and committing our life to Jesus. And a move of God would take place in here, unprecedented, never heard of. Blair newspaper would come out here and they would film everything that is going on. We would see healings. We would see miraculous signs and wonders. We would see the dead coming back to life. I believe when we fully devote ourselves to the things of God. Scripture tells us in 1 Kings 8:10 through 11, and when the priest came out, that a cloud filled the house of the Lord so that the priest could not continue to minister. And he goes on to say, for the glory of the Lord, fill the house of the Lord. Because of Solomon's obedience and dedication, the presence of God, the glory of God, fill the house of God. Devotion to God causes us to commit and dedicate ourselves to the things of God. Solomon was a man not only dedicated to God, but he was also devoted to his people. Bear with me, I'm going somewhere this morning. Scripture tells us in 1 Kings 8, 22 through 54 that Solomon prayed for his people. He brought his people before the living God in earnest prayer for their well-being. I want to stop right there for a moment. When Solomon went into the temple, he got on his knees. He stood before the God of heaven, and he lifted his hands up, and he talked to God, and we get this long prayer dedicated to God on behalf of his people. And when we turn to 2 Chronicles chapter 7, verse 14, and if we get the summation, the small version of Solomon's long prayer in chapter 8 of 1 Kings, and if my people who are called by my name shall humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then will I hear from heaven and forgive their sin and heal their land. Solomon prayed that. Solomon desired that for his people. Solomon longed for that for his people. Solomon's prayer and dedication and devotion caused God to appear a second time to him. 1 Kings 9 and 1 through 9. When Solomon, I'm just gonna briefly just walk through it. This is Solomon, God's meeting with him, and God is telling Solomon, listen, I'm going to walk with you. The throne is gonna be here forever. I'm going to establish you and keep you established. And this is what he said. But if you and your sons in any way turn from following me, and do not keep my commandments and my statutes, which I have set before you, but go and serve other gods and worship them, then I will cut Israel out of the land which I have given them. In other words, you could read verses 1 through 9, what God was telling Solomon. Listen, this is the deal. This is the condition. This is how it's going to happen. If you stay devoted to me, I will bless you. Deuteronomy 28 mirrors the very thing that God is saying here in our text, because he is God and he changes not. What he said in the Old Testament is what he's saying in the New Testament. They complement each other. It's the whole of Scripture. It's the plan of God. It's God's design. It's God's plan. It's God's heart. God wants full devotion from his people. God told Solomon, I have heard your prayer, your cry. I have seen your devotion and your willingness to seek me over everything else in life. He said, but I'm going to do all of these things that you ask me as long as you remain devoted to me. Walk with me and not seek out other gods. I'll continue to bless you. A person who has integrity, or better yet, I'm going to transition for a moment, integrity of heart. Listen to what he said. If you walk before me as your father David walked, in integrity of heart and uprightness, so that you are obedient to do all that I have commanded you. I want to stop right there for a moment. Remember, David made a boo-boo, didn't he? But listen to what he said. If you walk as your father David walked, in integrity of heart and uprightness, so that you are obedient to do all that I have commanded you and will keep my statutes and my judgments, then I will establish your throne, the throne of your kingdom upon Israel forever. Go back to David. David, Solomon had a model in his home, an example of someone to follow, someone who was dedicated to God. And we see this because God said it. God said that your father was a man of integrity. He didn't say he was a perfect man. He said he was a man of integrity. A person who has integrity of heart is a person who is honest. There's a wholeness, a truthfulness, a trustworthiness. They are reliable. David in Psalm, I want you to hear this. We go back to saying again that that Solomon had the perfect example in his father. I want you to listen to what David tells young Solomon in Psalm 25, verses 20 through 22. Guard my life and rescue me. Do not let me be put to shame, for I take refuge in you. May integrity and uprightness protect me, because my hope, Lord, is in you. Deliver Israel, O God, for all their troubles. In other words, the Lord, what he was saying, Lord, help me to do right regardless of whatever is going on around me and within me. As a follower of Christ, we would never be afforded the right to walk in anything less than integrity of heart. We see that God blessed Solomon tremendously because of his faithfulness to him. The word of wisdom, success, and prosperity spread all around the world. People came to see and inquire from Solomon because the hand of God was on his life in such a dramatic way. But now we're going to transition for a moment, and we're going to get ready for the next 10 minutes or so to wrap this message up. Somewhere in the midst of his success and prosperity came a distraction and destroyed Solomon's devotion to God. I bragged on Solomon for a reason, because Solomon started out really well. Solomon was completely dedicated to God. Solomon was completely committed to God. Then all of a sudden, out of the blue, Solomon's life became shambles. Every so often, all of us find ourselves on a detoured path in our relationship with God. Detoured. Going off the path that God has designed for us. Our relationship goes awry. Our desire, our commitment to God, our devotion is often detoured and off to the wrong path. Have you ever found yourself loving the blessing more than the blesser? Can I get an amen? Have you ever found yourself being more committed to your job, to Facebook, to Instagram, to television? All of these things seem to grab our attention at some point, and if we're not careful, the very things that God has blessed us with becomes a curse. And it's vying for our time. Because of Solomon's failure to be fully devoted to God in his disobedience, it really didn't stop there. In 1 Kings chapter 11, we see that Solomon married himself to the foreign women of the land. The Bible says in 1 Kings chapter 11, verse 5 through 8, for Solomon went after Ashtoreth, the god of the Sidonians, and after Molech, the abomination of the Ammonites. Solomon did what was evil in the sight of the Lord and did not fully follow the Lord as his father David had done. What made Solomon different from David? They both made a mistake. The difference between Solomon and David is that David stopped and repented and turned and went another direction. Solomon's wickedness and Solomon's sinfulness became a perpetual thing, and we wonder why our children and our people, our family, and those that we love, when we continue in sin, regurgitate and do the same things that we do. At some point, we have to break the generational curse. At some point, we have to say, enough is enough. I am tired of this. I don't want this for my life. I don't want this for my family. Because of Solomon's mistake, God said in chapter 1 Kings chapter 11, around the 26th through the 31st verse, that I'm going to tear the kingdom from Solomon. One of the greatest warnings in scriptures that God said, listen, I don't want you to make allies with the foreign nations because you would take part in marrying the ladies of the land and you would begin to worship their gods and go after them and serve them. The Bible says that Solomon went after their gods. And the Bible says that when Solomon married these ladies, that these women turned his heart from God. What makes you want to worship the moon god when you worship the creator of the universe? What makes you want to worship the god where baby and children were sacrificed to an idol down in the valley of Hinnom? Can you imagine hearing all the cries of these children as they're being sacrificed? And what came to my mind is that they are being, today in the 21st century, abortion and so many things that are going on, our children are no longer being sacrificed into Molech down in the valley of Hinnom, but our children are being sacrificed today on the altar of selfishness. We're in a world today where we're more devoted to ourselves and our agendas than we are the things of God. We need to find ourselves like Solomon found himself on his knees talking to the living God. Listen, after this, at least from my recollection, Solomon doesn't mention the temple ever again. And I want to point something else out about Solomon. The man who once loved his people and was fully devoted to them. Because his attention was turned from God, he became more devoted to gaining wealth and prosperity. This man who had all of this wisdom and all of these riches that were given to him by God, and we have Queen of Sheba coming to see his riches and many other great dignitaries coming and looking at what Solomon had, and they were amazed by Solomon's wisdom. They were amazed by all that he had achieved. It was all given to him by God. Don't let your boat this summer become your God. Don't let these things that God have blessed you with this year take your place, take the place of coming to the house of God. Oh, church, don't get me started. Don't you try to convince me that God wants you to miss church. Don't try to convince me because I can't find it in scripture. I've looked everywhere and I want to find a good excuse for God's people, but I have not found an excuse for us to be absent from the house of God and worshiping our King. Where's your devotion? See, that's the underline. That's what's really going on. Listen, after marriage, most couples desire to build a home, a family, a life together. This effort can only be carried out successfully when two people are fully devoted to each other. Amen? That's the only way that can be carried out. If I can get somebody to the piano, that'll be awesome. In the same way, our relationship with God can only be fulfilled when we're totally committed to Him. You want to build your relationship with God? Be committed to Him. You want to build your relationship with your family? Be devoted and committed to them. You want to build your relationship with me? Let's have some devotion together. Let's have some times of fellowship. Let's have some times of communicating. Let's be devoted. Devotion is a courageous thing. It takes someone who is not a coward but has heart. See, it's easy for me to be standoffish It's easy for me to do life by myself, but it takes courage to be devoted to an individual or to a people, because I know that I risk you letting me down. But I am going to be devoted to you. I am going to be devoted to God even when God says no. Because there's going to come a time in your life, because we think we serve a goody, 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 jackpot lever God, where we can just get cherries, three cherries in a row, and then all of a sudden we get a cherry and some weird thing and something else, and we don't get any money back. We get up, we say, I'm done with this slot machine, I'm done with this God, because he has not given me what I want, and we fail to be devoted, and our life go to pot, and we wonder why it happened. It's all because we were not devoted. Solomon in Ecclesiastes, what did he do? He came to a place finally in his life where he realized that all else was vanity. It meant nothing except, paraphrasing, being devoted to God. Being devoted is, this is what I want you to take home as application. Being devoted is carried out when we draw near to God. God is not lost, but he is found in the heart of those who truly seeks him with the heart that is not divided. I challenge you this morning. Your heart's divided. The altars are open. You'll stand this morning. Listen to what David, I said earlier, David told Solomon, pardon me that I was wrong about that. Listen to what David tells Solomon in 1 Chronicles 28:9. For you, Solomon, my son, know the God of your fathers and serve him with a whole heart and with a willing spirit. For the Lord searches every heart and understands the intent of every thought. If you seek him, he will be found by you. But if you forsake him, he will abandon you forever. James 4:8 says, draw near to God and he will draw near to you. Cleanse your hands, you sinners, and purify your hearts, you double-minded people. In other words, you're divided. In other words, you're not devoted. In other words, you're not committed. Number two, being devoted can only be carried out when we feed our spirit man. We can live on physical food. We can't live on physical food alone. Therefore, it must be a necessity as well that we feed our spirit man the Word of God and in private devotions. 1 Peter 1:23, for you have been born again, not from perishable seed, but with imperishable, through the word of God, which lives and abides forever. A life devoted to the word of God is what brings spiritual growth. If you'll close your eyes this morning. And the last one is prayer. Devote ourselves to prayer and commit ourselves to it. Colossians 4:2 exhorts us to continue in prayer and be watchful with thanksgiving. When was the last time you stopped and confessed your sin before God? 1 John 1:9. When was the last time we stopped and found solitude, a solitude place, and made supplication and interceded for those that we love and want to reach? Philippians 4:6, 1 Timothy 2:1-2. Psalm 63:6, when I remember you on my bed and meditate on you in the night watches. When was the last time that we stopped and meditated on the things of God and his goodness? If you'll close your eyes this morning, listen, this is a real message from God. Thank you.
Living Hope Assembly of God.